This is the BBC News with Fiona MacDonald. President Volodymyr Zelensky says he's grateful to the US House of Representatives for passing a $60 billion military assistance package for Ukraine after months of delays. Mr. Zelensky said both Ukraine and the United States would emerge stronger. James Waterhouse reports from Kyiv.
President Zelensky has said Ukraine will lose the war without American help. That's been reinforced over the past 6 months by Russia taking more territory. Now Ukraine is feeling the weight of American support once more, with its leader saying the package, containing much-needed ammunition and air defences, will help stop the war from expanding. This isn't the silver bullet which will help Ukraine win the war, but it extends its window to fight and keeps the negotiating table at bay. Now the focus shifts from whether to when this lethal aid will arrive, with reports suggesting some of it could be used within days.
In a rare moment of bipartisan cooperation, Democrats joined moderate Republicans in the House to see off opposition from the hard right. From Washington, here's Helena Humphrey.
After this vote from the US House of Representatives, it now heads to the Senate. President Biden has called on senators to advance it swiftly on Tuesday so that it can head to his desk at the Oval Office and he can sign off on it. And the Pentagon, for its part, watching political chaos, political infighting go on, has been trying to pre-position weaponry where it can so that those weapons can head to Ukraine, can head to troops on the ground sooner rather than later, potentially within days as opposed to weeks. But that doesn't rule out the prospect of further political infighting.
At the same time as the Ukraine vote, the House overwhelmingly approved military assistance for Israel and for Taiwan. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the bill would defend Western civilization. A spokesman for the Palestinian president called it an act of aggression against the Palestinian people. The authorities in Sierra Leone have burned $200,000 worth of narcotics and chemicals used to manufacture a synthetic drug known as Kush. It's been prevalent in the West African country for several years. Here's Jason Lee.
Groups of young men sitting on street corners with limbs swollen by Kush abuse is a common sight in Sierra Leone. The use of the drug is so rampant that President Julius Maada Bio called it a death trap and declared a national emergency 2 weeks ago. And today, the authorities have begun to crack down by burning piles of ingredients used to make Kush in the capital Freetown. One official said they were destroying such substances to avoid the likelihood of them filtering back into the community. Kush is a psychoactive blend of addictive substances similar to cannabis, but perhaps its most infamous ingredient is human bones.
BBC News. 16 candidates in Mexico's local elections have asked for protection after two mayoral candidates were killed on Friday. Police are searching for the man who stabbed a centre-right candidate in the northeastern state of Tamaulipas during a campaign rally. He hadn't requested any protection. 15 candidates running for regional positions in Mexico have been murdered since September. The Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro, has accused the US government of failing to respect its promise to lift all of what he called the criminal sanctions imposed against his country if Caracas opened up the electoral process. His remarks follow Washington's announcement that it had resumed the sanctions earlier this week. President Maduro said Venezuela had fully complied with its promise to ease suppression of dissent. The US Secretary of State Antony Blinken is travelling to China next week for his second visit in less than a year. The State Department said Mr. Blinken's talks with Chinese officials would include topics such as the crisis in the Middle East, the war in Ukraine, and security in the South China Sea. Mr. Blinken is expected to press Beijing to end its military support for Russia. In Spain, tens of thousands of people have been demonstrating across the Canary Islands against a model of mass tourism they say harms both the environment and conditions for local people. Lydia Morales told the BBC what had prompted her to join the protests.
We have very low salaries. We don't have water treatment of wastewater. We don't have hospitals in the south of the islands. The island is collapsed and I cannot more or less... Even less than to buy a house here. It's impossible. So we're just feeling we're being pushed away. We just want a change of model.
There have been parallel protests in parts of mainland Spain by Canary Islanders. BBC News.